Coming up on TMS, let's play a little South Carolina trivia.
Uh-oh, it's my turn. What did you do to cost your dad 80 grand overnight?
Old man caught manipulating in the hall.
Yeah, Barbie wants to live on air and sunlight alone.
Skojo and her pregnancy could cause problems for the Avengers.
Recommendals.
Tom's tech time.
And your emails.
And more.
And more. On this episode of The Morning Stream.
Want to know a secret? Something professional chefs usually keep under their hats? It's the secret of perfect French frying. Real homemaking news reported by McCall's Magazine on page 115 of their April issue. The secret is in this new Hot Point electric range. The first range with an automatic deep fat fryer built in.
The Morning Stream. They mostly come in the morning. Mostly.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. This is The Morning Stream TMS for, what is it, March 5th, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson. Brian Ibbett is on a plane, and that means the return of a long time ago guest on this show, a constant friend of the network, a dude who I've probably been podcasting with the longest. If you think about, if you go back to the late 04, early 05, it's Brian Dunaway, everyone.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm fine, man. How are you doing?
Has it been all the way back to 2004? Because that's 10 years.
Well, let's think about this. Late 04, we started, well, I mean, I started podcasting back in like 99 when it wasn't called that.
Right.
It and was then just it was just
radio.
Yeah, it was just poo MP3s. It was just garbage, shoutcast garbage, right? No RSS, none of that. And then jump ahead to 2003, and I cranked up Extra Life Radio, which would be very different later, but it was just this little solo show with me for a while. And then that kind of went on hiatus until about late 04. You and I were chatting, talking, doing stuff, and I was like, I think I want to revive this. And this is when the idea of it having, you know, multiple people on it and whatever came up. Right. And then jump ahead to very early 05 when we relaunched the show. So if you really want to be technical about it, 10 years next May. For you and I.
10 years next May.
Think
is
about that.
That's insane.
That's crazy, right? 10 years? That's crazy. Right.
Who would have thought for 10 years we'd be doing this?
Nobody. Not me. I figured, well, maybe I did. I don't know. I knew I loved it, so I didn't think I was ever going to quit. But
10 more years, Scott? What do you think?
10 more. Let's do 10 more. That's all I got. That's it. I'm out after that. ELR was an interesting, good time, and that's why I played today's theme the way I did, because it's very reminiscent of that theme we had then when you and I were running the show. And to have you on here as a guest is a fantastic idea. I'm really glad you consented to be here, man. Thanks a lot.
I'm glad I could be here because I love watching you and Brian Ibbett do this every day. A little bit jealous. I do have a day job. Took the morning off so that we could do this. I wish I could take every morning off.
That's awesome, dude.
Join you and Ibbett's.
What'd they say when you said, I mean, what do you, what, tell me how you approach a boss and go, hey, I gotta do a podcast. How'd that go?
Yo, boss man. I know we got work to do in the morning, but the thing is, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
You know, what I basically did was I said, hey, you know, I do podcasts. He's like, yeah, I know. And I said, oh, what was that supposed to mean? And so then I said, well, Scott's in a pickle. It's all Scott's problem. So I've got to help him out.
Does he know who I am? He's familiar with my... Oh, gosh. That makes me nervous. He's listening now,
right,
then, probably.
Should.
All right.
I doubt it. I doubt he's listening now. But maybe he might listen. He listened to a few things. He knows who you are.
Okay.
Let's put that
way. All right. Well, hopefully he doesn't have any sort of hit out on me or anything weird like that.
No, not yet.
All right.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how today goes. So right. It's good to have you back. Brian's on a plane. He'll be here tomorrow. And we hope he is having a safe, uneventful flight that doesn't involve puppies taking a crap next to him, which is where the sound came from yesterday. That was his impression of a dog that was having some trouble on a plane. But we got some stuff to talk about, things to do, and I'm going to have a little fun with you this morning, which, you know, that's why you're here, is to have a little fun with Brian. And also, listen, folks, if you haven't been listening to the other shows that I actually do with Brian, then you're crazy. You should be listening to Film Sack, which is me, Brian, the other Brian, and of course, Brian or Randy Jordan every week covering the movies that are goofy and Netflixy. That's good times. We've been doing that since 09. Think about that.
Right.
09, dude.
That's just incredible, too, because I didn't know it was that old.
Yeah, it's old.
A lot of crappy movies.
It's old as dits, a lot of shit movies. Know what? If you add them up, 2 hours each. Let's say those movies are on average 2 hours.
We don't want to do this. This will be really depressing.
195 episodes, 2 hours each. What's the math? Hold on.
Well,
this is depressing.
That's almost 400, you know.
Hold on a sec. So 195 times 2. That's 390. That's 390 hours. If you divide that by 24 in a day, that's 16.25 days straight that we've seen.
That's not bad.
It's not bad, but think about it. Start on a Monday. Don't quit till about 2.5 weeks later. Solid, nonstop film watching.
I know, and you're not even counting the actual podcast itself when we actually broadcast.
Add another hour 15 to every one of those.
Right.
Oh, good
or
Lord.
2 hours if Randy's got a good story.
One of these days, let me just put it out there. If we have any dedicated listeners want to go back through everything that I've ever recorded with any of these guys ever from, let's say, early 05 forward. That's all the instance. That's all TFS, TMS, Film Sack, everything. Just take the whole schmear and give me an hour count just on recording. I don't care. Forget about prep or watching movies or any of that. I just want to know what my slash plate is for, like you can do in World of Warcraft, for podcasting. I would really like to know. My guess is it's in like the 4,000 to 5,000 hours or something like that.
Easily.
Yeah.
I mean, all the stuff in all the other shows you've done and been guest on, I mean, it's a lot.
It's bananas. Let's just say
but
it.
You
Let's
know,
say it out loud.
I've thought about this. You know, what? As you get older, you start thinking about your legacy. What's my legacy? What did I really do in life?
Yeah, what'd you do? What footprint did you leave, Brian?
Well, footprint did you leave? And I'm often wondering, you know, how my kids remember me. And I'm like, you know, they've... If I did die today, they have a lot to listen to. I mean, if they want to hear my voice, pull back from the past and hear Dad talk. They've got plenty to hear.
Yeah, but unlike Casey Kasem's kids, who probably hated him,
right?
I don't know if that's true, but let's say they did.
It feels true.
Feels like they should. They have countless hours to listen to, but I have a feeling that if you're like in the mainstream of popularity, that's no fun for the kids. They're like, ugh, I don't want to listen to that. I'm sick of that. But in our case, it's this independent thing where we still kind of have these other parts of our lives that are untouched by public whatever. And it's easier for them to then go, oh man, we really miss Dad. Good thing we have all these old shows to listen to that were much more personal and they weren't top 40 countdowns. They were us. I mean, no offense to the estate of Casey Kasem, folks. He played Robin in the freaking Super Friends, so I can't give him too much credit.
I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. He was Robin. He was Shaggy, right? I think he was Shaggy.
What'd you think about... You watched Oscars, right?
I did.
Right. What'd you think about Liza Minnelli and the other kids watching Mom up there doing her Wizard of Oz performances stuff? What do you think they thought about that? Because you know she had a rough life afterwards.
She did. She was there was all kinds of druggy things and stuff going on, right, with her, with Liza Minnelli. I get the impression I could be totally wrong about this, but in Hollywood I get the impression that when there's a family legacy going on, there's such a weird underbelly to everything in Hollywood and such a dog eat dog, I'll destroy you if you come near me kind of mentality to a lot of things that you never see on the surface that. Right. They see this stuff and just kind of like Michael Douglas watches stuff about his dad and just, I don't think you look at it as, oh, Dad. I think they look at it as this business, man. Too bad our relationship is completely destroyed. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I feel like I could be totally wrong and I have no inside knowledge. So this is completely based on baseless impressions that I have, but I feel like anyway, that kind of familial stuff, like the Baldwins just don't give two turds about each other. I could be wrong, but I don't think those guys are getting together and playing football on the beach once a year. I don't think it's happening.
Right.
They don't care.
I could talk about the Baldwins all day, though, man.
Well, yeah, there's stories, right?
There's stories.
You could tell some.
There's things.
I have a story of patreon.com/TMS, where you can support the show. And we are doing because you guys hit our first goal, our 5K a month goal, we are going to be doing a Thursday episode of the show. So that is happening.
Yeah.
We do Thursdays anyway, but tomorrow night we'll have a fifth episode, 5:30 Mountain Time live right here on frogpants.com, and we'll do it before, let's see. Well, yeah, 5:30, and this is all before daylight savings, right? Yeah. We don't have to worry about that till this weekend. Do you guys do daylight savings, right? You do that.
Oh, please tell me it's not this.
Yeah, it's
weekend,
this weekend. Right? You jump forward, dude. You spring forward.
No, that's the worst. I hate springing forward.
Why? What?
Because you lose the hour.
Oh, that's right. This is the one we don't like. You're right. The fall back is good. Yeah.
Fall back good.
Spring forward bad. Well, no, you're just springing forward to what it used to be with the before the wait. Hold on, how's this work?
Right. You're
whatever.
Right. You're right.
Stupid farmers.
Fall back. Spring forward.
We used to have big, deep conversations about this in the ELR days, and the big conflict there was because O was in Colombia. Yeah, Bogota. They didn't celebrate it or not celebrate it. They didn't support it.
We're not celebrating your little hour springing forward back crap. We're not doing it.
Something like that. They didn't care or something. Wasn't there a deal like that with them?
Yeah, they don't care. They didn't have farmers there. They don't care.
Yeah.
Of course, Arizona is kind of our Bogota because they don't care either.
Oh, they have farmers there. They're just not the kind you're thinking of.
Ah.
They farm a certain kind of crop, if you know what I mean.
I don't.
Yeah, it's drugs is what I mean. Mm. Point is, it's happening. So get ready for that. But I thought it would be fun to mess about with you a little bit when it comes to trivia of your home state of South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
So Brian,
I know South Carolina. Go ahead, give me.
Panthers fan. Yes, you like your And wait a minute. How do you guys split the Panthers up? Like, it's not
right on the line.
Okay.
It's kind of both of ours. It's really more North Carolina, but
is it okay? So North Carolina, South Carolina, happily sharing their NFL team
franchise.
Yeah, and they get excited about it equally, I assume, and you know, even if it's a little more of a North Carolina thing, you guys don't feel short shrift, right? You feel like feel like it's still your team.
Absolutely,
that's good. So I got to thinking about that and some of the other unique things about your home state. It's tendency to have some very deep South backwards stuff going on, but also some relatively cool kind of, you know, progressive things going on. So I thought, hey, how about some trivia about your home state to test you, a lifelong liver of that plant of that place.
All right.
And you got to see how well you do here. So here you go. You ready for this?
Shoot it. I got it.
All right. What is the official state amphibian of the state of South Carolina? Amphibian. Yeah, it's an M. Yeah.
A creature that lives both in water and out of water.
It sounds wrong, doesn't it? Though
it does. It does.
Amphibian.
Sound wrong.
Yeah. Anyway.
Strom Thurmond.
You. Nope. It is salamander. Is the official?
I was going to say salamander.
Right, but you were close. I would have. The judges were close on saying yes. You were fine with Strom Thurmond. Is he still with us? He's dead, right?
He's dead.
Okay.
He's dead.
South Carolina entered the Union on May 23rd of what year to be the 8th state? So, what year did they enter the Union? It was early. I will say that.
What year did they say we were back in the Union, or what year we officially recognized? Because we're not part of the Union.
Right. At that time, especially, you guys had some.
Right.
You were putting your foot down in a few ways. But
screw you hippies. 1824.
That would close? Be incorrect. 1788 became the 8th state.
Wow. 17, a little earlier than I thought.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
See, my family held out a little longer.
Yeah. That's true.
It's like, screw you guys.
Yeah. Forget it. The Dunaways are not in with your plan.
Right.
All right. The state dance is the what?
Ah, that would be the. Is it the shag?
It absolutely freaking is. Very nicely done. Wow. I didn't think.
Shag out? Me do it.
I'm glad you got the trivial thing right and not any of the important stuff so far, like when you were officially a state. Or right. I guess your state lizard isn't that important. All right. How about this one? First battle of the Civil War took place at what fort?
Cowpens?
Sumter.
Sumter.
Is it Sumter? Sumter.
We say Sumter.
It should be Sumter. It's spelled that way. You're right. So congratulations. It was in your fine state of South Carolina. Here's a couple more.
At least I picked a place that was here. I actually live in a historic battle town. I live in 96, which has what's called Star Fort.
Hold on. And 96 is the name of the town?
Right. I live actually in 96, the city.
That's badass.
I live in I live in the county of Greenwood, but I live in 96.
I thought you lived in Greenville, no?
No. Greenville is about an hour north of here. And 96 is named after an Indian who ran 96 miles to warn us of something historic something.
Okay. All right. I like that. See, that's what I like about the South. The South has got some old traditions, like some old stuff, and they name towns after Indians who warned them. I like that kind of stuff. Is great. I love it.
Where are we? 96. That sounds good. Let's go.
That sounds good to me. All right, here's your next one here. No, we don't want to do that one. How about this one? Okay. Before being known as the Palmetto State, which is what you are now.
Which, yes, right. That's based on the palmetto trees, which are kind of rubbery and what we made our forts out of.
Right, exactly. The palmetto forts.
Right.
I used to get, if you eat it, you get the palmetto farts. I don't know if
I'm always getting that.
I know. It had emblazoned on their license plates something else prior to this. Do you know what that was? You were known as the blank state.
The smiley state.
Oh, you are so close. Right. The iodine state.
What?
I know.
No, I believe this because I was always getting iodine put on me as a child. they had the red iodine, which was...
Well, it's because y'all got the stinging nettles and all that kind of crap, right? Like you got weird bushes that give you rashes and stuff.
I did not know that. That's interesting. The iodine state.
Yeah.
Did we make that?
Yeah, that's what it says here. I'm only... the internet says, so I can't have to believe
it. What's it made out of? What is that... I don't know
either. I don't get it. How about this one? The only Major League Baseball player to wear the name of his hometown on his uniform was pitcher who? He wore the number 96, by the way. What was...
Did he really?
Yeah, there you go. There's your
reference. That's a good question, because I don't really watch baseball.
Not a big fan?
No. Well, I like to watch occasionally, but I'm not waiting for it to come on.
Right. I enjoy a good game here and there.
Right. I'm no Justin Robert Young.
No, you're not a Justin Robert Young. But who is, really? Who is?
Right.
So I'm going to give you a, because you didn't know. It's Bill Voisel. Do you know that name?
Oh, Bill Voisel.
You don't know that name.
I don't know.
All right. Finally, let's do one last one here. Okay. How about this one? Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Batesburg-Leesville.
Yes, Batesburg-Leesville. That's where I got some really good barbecue.
All right. Is home of the annual South Carolina what festival held in early May?
Barbecue festival.
Incorrect.
What?
It is the poultry festival. Where I'm sure they barbecue the birds.
Barbecue sauce on it. Yeah. Barbecue sauce.
That sounds really good right now. And you guys are known for a hella good barbecue as well. Yeah, you're one of the states that come up. So people always say Tennessee, South Carolina, Texas.
Have you seen the way their state is shaped, Tennessee?
Like a unit, right? Like a wiener? No?
Right. Or
a vajayjay? What's it shaped like? I don't even know. What is it? I can't think of it.
It's like a little, it's like a cliff. Looks like you want to run off of it.
but you're up there in the echelon of fine barbecue known cities and states.
We actually, where I work at, every year we have a big barbecue festival right like out in our little town area.
Yeah.
And about 2 years back, we had the Food Network come in. They had all their little stars and everything. And they came into the building and talked to us and said, "Hey, how you doing?" and blah blah blah. So
we're
known for our barbecue. That's a big deal.
Yeah, Food Network. They don't just dink around. They don't just send a guy with crazy white hair and a dumb beard around the country just stopping places.
Who was here.
Oh wait, Guy Fieri was there.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to hear that.
That's right.
It's okay.
Scared the crap out of the locals.
Yeah, he can do that. He's all right. People give him a hard time. I think he's fine.
I like him.
Nothing wrong with him.
I like him.
Well, there's a few things wrong with him. All right, we're going to get to Stump a Trek Nerd, which means we got to call Daryl, and it means we got to play this. Hey, look, everybody, it's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by, and here's the part you read.
Oh, it's brought to you by, that says Comets Coast to Coast. What is this?
It does.
What are you talking about?
Tell us about Comets Coast to Coast. This is your little chance to pimp it.
Oh, it's brought to you by Comics Coast to Coast, which is a wonderful podcast that I host with Joel Duggan and Matthew Ducharme. And we talk to not only professionals in the industry of comics, we talk to animation people, we talk to small web cartoonists, big web cartoonists.
Mm-hmm.
We talk to all of them, and we have a great time.
And it's kind of like a roundtable discussion where we might talk about your artwork. We may just talk about the latest movies. Who knows? Check it out at comicscoasttocoast.com.
Nicely done. Daryl, are you there? Hello, Daryl.
Daryl is not here.
No, Daryl is not there.
Ask me Trek questions.
Hold on. We're going to add him to the group. Oh, he did call back. Hi, Daryl. Are you there?
I think I am.
Oh, good. Hey, I read on Twitter that you had slept in or something.
Yeah.
Oh, how'd that go for you? An hour? What happened there?
Well, I didn't turn my alarm on.
Oh. You sound like...
And I was gone late last night with the kid doing some fun stuff.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of that. But you're like my son. You're like my 14-year-old who did, or 13, I guess he is. I don't want to age him too quickly. He does the same thing every day. The night before, Nick, set your alarm. You need to be out of that shower by 6:15 because your sister needs to bed. Whatever. Doesn't matter how often you tell him. He says he sets it. He didn't. It's on silent. There's 5,000 excuses for why his alarm didn't go off. So today, you are like my son. My son. Daryl, having you on and Brian on at the same time reminds me of an old clip from the ELR days I'm going to play that Daryl sent us a long time ago, and it's this. Oh,
yeah. Back in my day, I didn't use condoms. We used an old fish.
Apparently, we also sound like crap in those days.
I love that. I've forgotten all about that.
That's an old one. An oldie but a goodie. Daryl, it's always good to have you on. It's Trek Nerd Time. Are you good for a question today, despite your hurry to get out of bed an hour late condition?
Yeah. And the reason I didn't answer Skype is I was pushing buttons and then the window would go away and then it would come back and I was just fumbling around, going nuts with it.
That's all right. Well, we hate to make you go nuts. I was worried you slept in because the rumors are true that Bill Duran slipped you a roofie yesterday when you were over there. Gave you a little sedative.
I tried to slip him some gum, but he completely refused that.
I heard you left it there, though, right? You left it.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, Brian. So hold on. Dunaway, because he didn't hear yesterday's show, he thinks you mean you tried to pass some gum in the traditional let's make out in high school kind of way. And what it would have been is you leaving a package of this grandma-flavored gum at his house. So
grandma-flavored gum.
Yeah, you've missed a lot yesterday. Yesterday was a lot of information disseminated about gum. So don't worry about it. You're fine.
I'll go back and watch it now.
I like your assumption more than I like that you don't know or that you would have known. All right, Daryl, here's your question. It's a Next Generation episode question. So we're in the TNG today, and it goes like this. In the episode Who Watches the Watchers, the Enterprise is resupplying an anthropological team and their outpost. The team is observing a group of Mintakans. What historical age does Troy say the Mintakans are in? Is it A, the Stone Age, B, the Iron Age, C, the Bronze Age, or D, the Silver Age? Stone Age, Iron Age, Bronze Age, Silver Age. Now,
or E, the Stoner Age.
Oh, I like that age. I think I went to high school during that age.
All right.
That's right.
Happy birthday.
Okay, it's birthday time. Who in Star Trek history is celebrating a birthday today?
That would be Dean Stockwell.
No, we love Dean Stockwell.
Yeah.
Quantum Leap, the Battlestar of the Galactica. Did you get that far? Do you see him in there, Daryl? You watching that stuff?
I kind of gave up on
it. You've got to get back in there. You got to at least.
Also, today is my dad's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to your dad.
You know what? It's also Violet's birthday. She's 4 today.
Oh, my gosh. Look at all these birthdays. I found out a dude on, I've been watching Bates Motel, and found out the dude, the cop in the first season, I won't give spoilers here, but you know who I mean? The deputy? Yeah, I know. Brian's on eggshells with spoilers lately because of the TFS the other day. That guy has my birthday, so me, him, and David Hasselhoff all share the birthday of July 17th. Yep. Crazy, right?
March 19th, me and Bruce Willis.
Oh my gosh, really?
So we go hang out and we
say yippee-ki-yay to each other a lot. And,
we walk barefoot, break some glass.
Put some C4 down the elevator shaft, that kind of stuff. Right. Tie it to a chair and a computer. Yeah, it's perfect. Well, Daryl, good. It's happy birthday to that guy. Wait, who was it? I already forgot. Who was it? Oh, Dean Stockwell.
Dean Stockwell.
He's 78.
Oh, wow. And he's getting on there.
He's doing good.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on Star Trek, believe it or not.
What? Which one? Older TNG or what?
He played some guy named Colonel Gratt on the Enterprise series.
Oh, all right. Cool. I wonder if he got pulled by or noticed by Ron Moore then to do what he does later on. He's great on BSG. Very pivotal character. Very interesting guy.
And we got to say a quick hey to Dean Stockwell back in 2010 at Dragon Con. A lot of fun.
What? You talked to him? Shook his hand?
Yeah. How you doing? How you doing?
Did you really?
Dean Stockwell?
You actually got to talk. Did you talk to him? Did he say anything?
No, it was more like, oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And Scott Bakula was there as well?
Yeah, Scott Bakula was there, but you can't touch him.
No. Well, you have to yell, necessary roughness was awesome, and then he'll love you forever.
But they had a great relationship, man. They were really cool.
They were hanging out and talking to each other.
They seemed like total cool.
That's what you want. That's what you want from your Ziggy. Or not your Ziggy. What was his name? Max? What was his name?
Yeah, the robot was named Ziggy.
Yeah,
his name was Jimbo.
Jimbo? Max? Fred?
Jimbo Max. That's it.
Jimbo Max.
Jimbo Max. You got it.
Brilliant. all right, Daryl. Well, let's get back to the question then. No food to test today because we don't have any and... usually we'll save that for Brian, but
I got a Gatorade.
Do you have a Gatorade? How is that today? Is it good?
It's purple. It's purple. It's room temperature.
Yeah.
It's.
Did you guys also call when another kid in gym would pinch your nipple really hard? Would you also call that a purple nurple when you were growing up, or is that just us?
No, we did call it that.
Yeah,
we called it a purple.
Purple nurple. How about you, Daryl? Did you grow up in a place where a purple nurple was a common phrase?
No, and I'm glad because I would have been the victim.
I've told you guys.
Six purple nurples a day.
I've told you guys how I got lucky with the whole, and this seemed to work with my kids too, because we're all kind of nerds. We're all kind of nerds, right? And they and I all benefited from height. Because what happened is when you first get into junior high, the bullying would start, but then we'd hit a growth spurt. Suddenly we're 6 foot something and nobody will bug us again. And never really felt like I looked threatening, but apparently I did. And so nobody picked on me because I was 6'3" in high school. I was just big, tall. I was skinny as hell, but nobody picked on me ever. Not even once. It only seemed like short kids got picked on. We've talked about this on Therapy Thursday before, but I just think it's interesting. Right. And my kids are experiencing similar things. Nick just had this huge growth spurt and kids that used to give him crap are either begging to hang out with him or just nobody's bugging him anymore. So
I'm actually average height.
Yeah.
I'm average height, but I have a large barrel chest. You know, it's not really made out of muscle. It's just huge amount of rib lung area.
Made out of wood.
Yeah, it's made of wood. You're like one of those old actors like from the old Tarzan movies with the barrel chest. Right? Yeah.
And my wide shoulders, and that's always served me well. It's like, you don't want to mess with me.
Yeah, wide broad back shoulders. Broad shoulders are huge. Visual thing. I mean, people see patterns and they see something that, you know, they think they couldn't mess with, and so they therefore don't. But
you could kick my trash easily, though.
Right, right.
I was the skinniest guy in school, so that's why I was the everybody's punching bag.
It's the worst. And I went through the same kind of thing, and again, until I hit that growth spurt, I was super skinny and kind of small, and I took all kinds of heat when I was younger. But then something happened, and I went, and now it's just, and even now, people tell me all the time, oh, you're so intimidating to approach. I'm like, what? Like, yeah, physically, it's just kind of freaked me out because you're 6'4".
Yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, I really don't feel that way. I feel like a short guy mentally. Like, when I'm in a room with a bunch of people, I never go, oh, I'm the tallest guy in here, therefore I am somehow imposing. I don't think of myself that way at all. Maybe I need to start to, you know?
No. Why? What good would it serve you?
Well, what if I want to be an ass? What if I want to start being an ass? What about
you
that?
You don't want that.
Oh, I don't.
You don't want that.
It's not in me. I can't be an ass.
It's not in you.
I barely have an ass, to be honest. all right, back to the question here. We got an age to deal with. Stone, iron, bronze, or silver. What does your heart tell you?
Well, let's see. Stone age, that'd be like cavemen and stuff.
Sure would be.
Ah, yes.
In theory, that is true.
So it wouldn't be that. And I don't know what Silver Age is. Isn't that a comic book brand?
Yeah, that's DC Silver Age. Yeah,
it is. Right. You'd say, so oh, yeah, bad. The Silver Age is when we had, I'm trying to think what Silver Age would have been. A lot more Crypto the Dog comics. That I think that's the time frame for that. A lot of lads, right, like lads. Aqualad, all that BS. Gosh, dude. Freaking Bucky. Who is Captain America's little buddy?
Bucky
became the Winter Soldier thing or whatever. By the
Which
way,
I can't wait to see.
That is not a spoiler for the movie, guys. That's a comic book thing, so.
Right.
Whatever.
Come on. If you didn't know that part, come on.
Then come on. But yeah, Bucky. What was his last name? Bucky Dent or Bucky?
Bucky Dent.
Not Bucky Dent. Who wears Bucky Dent? That's not it.
Bucky Dent.
I can't think of it. Bucky.
Buckman.
Bucky Buckman of the Bucksters.
You know
Buckingham,
that sounds right.
Buckingham Palace.
I think
Palace.
His name was yeah. Bucky American. Bucky American.
Yeah. Listen to this one. Chaos Child says, Silver Age is when there was a lot of weird things like Bat Baby and Pink Kryptonite. Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
Yeah.
That's just about it. All right. If I spoiled a comic, that comic's 1,000 years old, so I don't think I spoiled anything. All right, Daryl, you're the one. Go ahead. Discriminate between these four answers and tell us which one. Oh, you already kind of started, so keep going.
Yeah. Yesterday, remember... I visited Bill, showed up on his segment there.
Yeah, and at first I thought he was doing your voice.
That was great.
Genuinely thought that's what that was. That was weird.
He took some pictures while I was there. I had a TNG shirt on and used his guns in some pictures. And the tadpole went absolutely insane with those photoshopping them.
Mm.
They are the funniest things I've
I have
ever
not seen.
Seen
these yet. I want to see them. They're probably in the Tadpool or somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Facebook
yeah,
thing?
Facebook, yeah.
Okay. I'll go check them out. That sounds great. Well, you were in a red shirt, which made me worry that you might have a car accident on your way home or something.
Oh, but it was TNG, so I'm safe.
Oh, okay. You're fine. Yeah. Because, hell, Riker wore that half the time, and he was fine. Yeah. He walked a little funny and then sat in chairs weird, but other than that, he was fine. Yeah. All right. Check those out, folks, over there in the Facebook Tadpool page, which, by the way, if you're a nice person and you want to join that thing, you ought to, because there's good stuff in there.
You ought to.
All right.
What are you, from the South?
Okay.
Oh, here's one right here. Oh, I'm going to take a look at it.
What is it? What is
oh, my
it? Don't
gosh,
look at
dude,
it.
That's great. These are great.
What is this one I'm looking at? Is this in the chat room?
Yeah, dude.
Yes.
These are amazing. I knew they'd be good, but come on now. I didn't think they'd be this
gonna
good.
We're going to copy that to the show notes so that people listening can hear it later, because this is awesome.
The red carpet one with everybody, you were just enormous behind them. Oh, this is too good. All right, well, that made my day.
Got to see the one with Kim in it, too.
Yeah, I saw that, because I put up the Han Solo yesterday, and now you've made it better somehow. Oh, that's great. Keep those coming, everybody. My gosh, I love the tadpole. You guys are insane. All right.
They are the best.
All right, sorry. Back to the thing.
Okay. Anyway. Iron Age or Bronze Age? Iron Age. What were they doing then? Ironing.
A lot of ironing.
Yeah. That's when Iron Man.
Oh my gosh, you guys, Pink Kryptonite. This is true. On the Superman Wiki, this is gonna freak you out a little bit. But this was the time we lived in then. Pink kryptonite is a type of kryptonite that seemingly turns Kryptonians into homosexuals. It is unknown and would let's see. It is unknown what it would do to already an already homosexual Kryptonian.
That's great.
We really were doing that.
That's
freaking kidding
fantastic.
Me.
That is, you know, just, I'm all kinds of homophobed, freaked out, like, because last night watching Dallas Buyers Club, and of course he was portrayed as a homophobe, and it was just.
Yeah, it's hard to watch, right?
It's so hard to imagine the kind of hate we had like during the mid 80s.
I don't get it, man. I never did, but when you hear about it, you're reminded of it. You're like, what were we doing? And at what point did some publisher of a major comic book go, yeah, Pink Kryptonite, that'll turn people gay. That's a great idea. Go to press. That's just so ridiculous to me. Anyway, sorry. I keep derailing you. You want to make an answer, but we just can't let it happen here.
But when the train is running on gravel and dirt, it's always the best.
That's true. Good point.
Okay. Bronze. What were they doing in the Bronze Age? That's when they came up with the medals for the Olympics.
Yeah,
Bronze Age.
The Bronze Age is when everybody was in third place all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm going to pick that because that sounds the best. Bronze Age.
Bronze Age. Well, let's find out from the judges. Is it indeed the Bronze Age?
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
You're a winner.
You did it.
You did it.
Troy says they are in the Bronze Age level. The holographic generator on the outpost fails, and one of the Mentakians sees the outpost. He then believes that Picard is a god. Here's a clip of the Enterprise crew discussing their initial mission. Right here.
Mr. LaForge, report.
Well, we finished replicating the parts they'll need. But what I don't understand is why a three-man station would need a reactor capable of producing 4.2 gigawatts.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt?
All right, geez, Iceform, by the way, you got one clip in there that's like way quiet, and the other one is like jacked all to hell and back, so thanks for that. I appreciate it. Nicely done. There you go. Way to go. Daryl's perfect week so far. It's impressive. Something to see. Amazing stuff. Yay. Tell your children about it. Daryl's the Trek nerd on Twitter. He's also at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Go listen to his show. Okay. Let's play a little game. What's this one? So Brian knows what he's doing.
Is this a Star Trek disease or an actual disease?
Star Trek disease or actual disease. Here's our theme. I got this. That's for Brian because he's from the South.
That's right. I got this. Not a problem.
All right. So
go I'm a hypochondriac, so this is going to be
of course.
Perfect.
All right. Give us our two options or okay. Our one option or our one thing.
Your one option.
Yeah.
Orchett's disease.
Orchett's disease. Okay, Brian, we have to be of the same mind on this. So what's your initial reaction? Orchett's disease. Real disease or Star Trek disease?
Orchett's disease. Now, that does sound stupid like a Star Trek name.
Yeah.
So I've never heard of Orchett's disease. I do not have Orchett's disease. So I'm thinking maybe it is a Star Trek thing.
You know, the Orchett's, when I heard the name Orchett's, it immediately, this is the way my brain works. Immediately I see about 25 Alien. Whales up on stage right. Kicking their legs really high to some big man.
The Orchett's.
The Orchett's. I can't.
I would have thought it was a bunch of green guys.
Well, that would work too. I'm going to say Alien. I think we agree on Alien. It's an or it's a Star Trek disease, don't you think?
It sounds very Star Trek-y. If not, if it's not a Star Trek thing, it should have been.
Yeah, this may be a trick question. So let's find out, Daryl. How we do?
It is from Voyager. It is a Trek
yes.
disease.
Yeah, look at us with the Trek disease. We nailed it.
Yeah.
Way to go, Brian. Without you, I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh, look, it's the news, and it's brought to you by... And then you read the little thing there.
Get your subscription to Retro Gaming Magazine now at tiny.cc/retrosub, featuring comics from Scott Johnson.
That's right. Experience points, making a big comeback. Vince and Steve doing their thing right there in a... A bi-monthly, or not bi-monthly.
That's a duck and a dude, isn't it?
What's issues every 2 months? What do you call that? Not bi-monthly. That's twice a month.
Every 2 months? Right.
Two monthly.
every other monthly.
Every other monthly issue of this great, it's awesome magazine, by the way. Retro's great. I'm digging it big right. time. If you like old video games, and I do, then you want to read that. Plus, you'll see my comic right there in the back. And I'll publish them on the web once they go to print. So watch for that as well.
All by right. the way, I also want to thank Daryl before he runs off. You already shut him off?
Yeah, he's already out of there.
Ah,
I unceremoniously hang up on him every day. That's how right. it works.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Daryl, thanks for the compliment. My girlfriend appreciated it. She did some artwork, and I posted on Twitter, and Daryl complimented it very nicely, and he was super nice about it.
Oh, of course. He's a nice guy. He's a little grumpy and curmudgeonly sometimes, but he's nice.
I
like him. He's that neighbor. Sleepy. He's a neighbor I wish I had, because he'd just be out there going, damn tree hanging over my fence. And then... At the same time, he'd be nice, too, at the same time. Elderly teacher, this has been the news here today. An elderly right. teacher in his 70s caught, quote, manipulating his penis, unquote.
Penis. His heinous penis.
In a school hallway. A 72-year-old substitute teacher was arrested after a coworker reportedly caught him sneaking in some quick quote unquote penis manipulation before first period.
Let me tell you something. This is misleading. I manipulate my penis all the time because it moves around. So I have to reach down there and
you gotta adjust. You gotta adjust. I understand.
Right.
Sure.
So are we talking about just a quick, adjustment, or are we talking about face making and you know what I mean?
Well, here's the story goes on. Let's find out. The witness said he saw, or she saw, Michael Luke, however you say that name,
League,
on the ground in a high school hallway after Wednesday. Yes, that may have answered your question.
Right.
This is Wednesday morning and went to assist him, but as she got close, she thought he was like, oh, I've fallen, you know, he can't get up or something. She got closer. She noted that his hand was inside of his pants and he appeared to be manipulating, as we'll call it here on the show. She reported the incident. School officials detained the elderly substitute. He was later arrested by Stamford, Connecticut police. And that Domo's doing good things for my peripheral vision.
You're welcome. Domo is now covering any activity that is going on behind me.
Listeners at home, that's Brian's got a Domo doll that he's holding up to the camera. So sorry, you're missing out on the best part of the show right now.
Domo sock puppet.
Sock puppet. Let's see here. They arrested him. This says it's a second degree breach of peace and a risk to injury to a minor. Were the charges?
What's going to happen? They're going to triple room?
I don't know what. That's a really good question. Obviously I know what they mean by risk to a minor or risk of injury. But I think it's a weird charge. How about lewd behavior or public indecency? Or
that's where I would go with.
Yeah, there's other stuff. I don't like the word lewd much, but
lewd.
It's a pretty lewd. Yeah, I think that needs to make a comeback, but be used in kind of an ironic, kind of everyday kind of way. Like, oh, dude, that spaghetti was lewd. You know what I mean?
That spaghetti was wicked lewd.
Yeah, like people are always saying, oh, your moves on that skateboard were sick. Well, that's a stupid connection, so why not make it lewd? Oh, that triple ollie you just pulled was totally lewd, Tony Hawk.
I'm using that all day today.
All right.
Improperly.
Video surveillance was found showing this dude in a corner of a stairwell suspiciously manipulating the front of his pants while looking at students in the courtyard. Yeah, you freaking creep.
What? Oh, okay. Yeah, you see, when you throw that context in there, suddenly it's like, ooh, manipulation.
Yeah. Police are working with the school to find the students who are out there in the courtyard who say they may need counseling. You know what? How about not tell those kids? How about they don't know he was up there doing that? How about you don't freak him out? How about that? Right. It doesn't change anything. They don't need to know. Let them be out in the playground or the courtyard or whatever. Let them have their fun. And he was in that building doing who knows what, and they don't need to be none the wiser. Don't give them counseling because they don't need to know, you dummies.
Why would you even say anything?
Yeah, I feel like that's really weird.
Maybe that was one of those full.
It's a bad thing. Look, he shouldn't be there. He should be arrested. All that stuff is true, but in this particular case, the crime ended up being victimless because you caught him and you got rid of him. You don't need to make them victims. Don't tell them about it. They don't need to know. What changes? It doesn't. You can still say, students, we need to be careful around people and you need to watch out and look for these signs and stuff. But you don't need to go, you guys, there is a 72-year-old man right up in that window who was looking at you and playing with his ding dong.
It's this day and age of complete transparency. And I think if you bring up if they said, OK, we're going to fire you and they didn't come out and just go because of this.
Well, you still could do that, but without saying, hey, you four students, because they're talking about seeking out these specific students. Well, why?
Right.
Just say, hey, during the day, this happened. You guys be watchful, just so you know, this and that. It doesn't mean the entire school has to have counseling. That's just a general announcement, you know?
I need counseling. I just, you know.
Well, I need it from I need it from reading it, yeah.
Right.
If you can help me out, that'd be great. Let's see. Florida teen. This is not Brian while he was in Florida. Right. Dunaway,
Ibbots.
Yeah, we'll see if the stories come out. Florida teen's Facebook post cost father $80,000.
Right.
A Florida teenager's post has cost her father $80,000 in a legal settlement. The Palm Beach Post reported Sunday that, this father had sued the Miami area preparatory school for age discrimination after he lost his job as headmaster. Dana Snay's father, Patrick Snay.
I'm the headmaster!
Patrick Snay had settled an age discrimination case with his former employer, Gulliver Preparatory School. What a Harry Potter sounding thing that is. Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. The school agreed to settle the case for $80,000, and the settlement agreement included a stipulation that the man and his wife not disclose details of the settlement with anyone. Here's your problem. The daughter posted on Facebook that all the money would pay for the family vacation to Europe.
She didn't disclose. She didn't disclose a number amount. So I'm kind of like, the judge is just kind of like, I'm going to teach this teenager a lesson.
Yeah, it could be, but they're really teaching him a lesson, too. Here's what she wrote specifically. Quote, Mama and Papa Snay won the case against Gulliver. Gulliver is now officially paying for my vacation to Europe this summer. Suck it, she posted. Well, you little turd. Way to go. She didn't need to do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can't say anything because when I was that age, I'm sure I was always saying smart things, but I didn't have a public forum to do it in.
Yeah.
I might just go out with my friends and go, hey, couple of friends who are standing around me right now. You know what? Gulliver, suck it.
Yeah.
And that would be the end of it. But you know, in this day and age of public posting, you suddenly created a slanderous situation.
Yep.
And so that causes problems.
Absolutely it does. So that's going on. That's some good times in Florida, as always.
Did you see that also? I don't know if y'all talked about this, but did you see where the kid was suing the parents for the basically her college and stuff so that because they kicked her out?
No.
She was under 18.
She didn't win, did she?
No, they just ruled against it. Because she was kind of like, you know, hey, I'm on my own. You kicked me out. Child support. You know, I was kind of like, that's stupid.
Oh, that was like, the deal. Is she? Yeah. That, right. Yeah, she shouldn't win that lawsuit. That's ridiculous.
I was a little bit of kind of like, you know, parents should have some responsibility if you kick out a child before they're 18. But I don't know how douchey the kid was. I can't claim that.
Well, in 18, they literally are an adult now.
Yeah, so at 18, you're on your own. See you later.
See ya. Goodbye. I mean, we didn't do that. My daughter was ready to go. She wanted to. She was like, sweet, I get that apartment. I can't wait to go to college. It wasn't even like a thing where she's like, can't wait to get away from my parents. It wasn't like that. In fact, starting Sunday, for 7 days, my wife is loading up her car with my daughter of 19 and her three friends, I want to say, and they are going to road trip to San Francisco.
Road trip.
For a week. Stay in a timeshare, check out all the sites, do Alcatraz, Fisherman's Wharf,
like
all
fun.
That stuff. Yeah, they'll go see the Redwoods and all that. They'll do that whole thing. They'll see where Star Wars, Return of the Jedi was filmed, and all that stuff. And then they'll come home. So now we have nothing but the best possible relationship with my daughter. They come home. She comes home all the time, brings her boyfriend over. Like, that's how you want it. You want them to be confident enough to leave home and start life.
Right.
But at the same time, miss us and want to spend time with us and, you know, hang out with us and all that stuff. If you can get that kind of parity, you did well. If your kids can't wait to get the hell out of your purview, you did something wrong. And if they are stuck there and don't ever want to leave, you're also doing something wrong. It's a fine balance, you know?
My mom was great because she took on a lot of responsibility, so we had other members of the family that weren't taking care of the kids, so she would bring in the other kids, and we didn't have but so much, so we kind of had a small house.
Yeah.
And so it was just so many people in there, and I'm a neat freak, and I'm a very, you know, personal space kind of person when it comes to my things.
Yeah.
And so when I turned old enough, I was like, I'm out. That's it wasn't that I hated anybody. It was just that I needed your own thing,
yeah.
Right. I need to do my thing.
Plus, when you're you're 18 or 19, you're just... Nothing scares you. Nothing scared me when I was 19. I was ready. Let's go. Let's do this.
I moved to the beach. I went to the beach for a weekend. I had a job here. I moved to the beach for a weekend. They offered me a job making way more money to being a lifeguard. And I was like, I'm not going back home.
Yeah, why would you? Sure. That doesn't pay like a lifeguard job.
Tick no.
Tweaked Audio sponsoring today's show like they often always do. It's tweakedaudio.com is the place. You want to get some sweet earbuds for noise canceling. You're going to take a big long plane ride or plane trip or train ride is what I meant. Whatever it may be. You're like, I really need to block out this screaming kid behind me or whatever. Because I'm a big fan of kids and I always try to help them on planes if they're being in trouble. But if you just can't stand it, hey, how about block them out with a fantastic pair of Tweaked Audio earbuds? Noise reduction is the key. They give you a lifetime warranty as well. So whatever style you pick, no matter what kind you like the best, they'll give you a full lifetime warranty. And if something happens, they take care of you. They're amazing. It's tweakedaudio.com is the place. The code is STREAM for 33% off at tweakedaudio.com. And we really think you guys should check them out if you haven't yet, because they're rad.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
Ooh, it's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
The Daily Tech News Show, starring Tom Merritt on the Frog Pants Mega Feed and wherever podcasts are downloaded.
It's a great show. You should listen to it.
I have.
Yeah. I've been on it once. I hope to be on it again. It's really,
was I on it?
I don't know. Were you on it?
I can't forget. I can't remember.
You might have been. You've been on Cord Killers, right?
I've been on Court Killers, which was fantastic. Great, great show.
I think you were on their initial inaugural episode, I believe.
I was on episode one, as I've been on many episode ones of many Frog Pants shows, and then never to be invited back again.
What's up? Have we not had you on Current Geek yet? We got to do that.
I don't think so. Oh, not this round. I haven't been.
Okay, yeah. We're going to do that soon. We'll completely destroy a Sunday evening for you and have you be on nothing but podcasts that day.
That works for me. Yeah, let's do it.
Great idea. Here we go in the celebrity poop today. Breatharian, that's the actual term. Barbie Valeri Lukanova says she wants to live off light and air alone, she says.
Well, you know what? Go ahead.
Good luck with that. Ukrainian model has cast herself as a real life Barbie doll. I don't know if you've seen pictures of her, but it's weird.
Actually, my girlfriend, coincidence, my girlfriend yesterday was like, look at this crazy lady. Yeah. I'm like, what? And she's like, oh, she wants to be a Barbie doll. I'm like, yeah, she's weird looking.
She has the waist of about like this water bottle right here.
Right. I'm assuming that she's done some kind of binding and maybe removed some ribs or something.
Something like that, yeah. Right. And she's got, I don't know what she's done something to her face. She has to have. Because she looks like a plastic doll. There's just no way around it.
And that's what she's going for.
Yeah, this is what she wants. Now, here's the interesting bit. She doesn't want to subsist on any food or water. She wants to live without eating or drinking. She says, she's apparently made it her goal to survive on air and light alone. Quote, in recent weeks, I have not been hungry at all. She said, according to the International Business Times, I'm hoping it's the final stage before I can subsist on air and light alone. The website linked the dietary desire to a new age practice known as breatharianism, in which followers neither eat nor drink, believing they can exist solely on cosmic microfood.
Right.
Cosmic microfood.
Do you know what's so great about this sudden growth of grouping of people and giving themselves names? We won't have to deal with them much longer.
Well, see, this is the question. When I read articles like this, I just think, you're telling us this now, but you can't suddenly break through millions of years of evolution and adaptation and the way human beings are. You cannot change that in your one little dinky lifetime,
right?
So that you are now living like some kind of dude in the thousand-year future who can live off air. That's just ridiculous. So it's not going to work. And I don't
know. Maybe they can get some kind of, plant implants under their arms and maybe be able to, transfer rays that way. But until you can do that, no.
Here's the Wikipedia listing on this breatharianism thing. It's the solely on prana, they call it. This is the life force in Hinduism. Sunlight.
Prana, a.k.a. tacos.
Tacos, sneaky tacos no one knows you're eating. Let's see. So this 49-year-old Australian-born dude, a whole bunch of people died. So a bunch of people that follow this guy just died.
Right. Well, duh.
I love this. Duh. Her name is Jasmuheen. Jasmuheen is the leader of this thing, and she was born Ellen Grieve.
That's a pretty cool name. I like Ellen Grieve.
She says, I can go months and months without having anything to all other, at all other than a cup of tea. My body runs on a very different kind of nourishment. You know what? Just going to call BS on that.
I am too, because we all know that your body cannot survive but X number of hours without fluid, and you can't survive but X number of hours without food, unless you go into some kind of comatose coma thing, and even then, if you're gonna exist in any means necessary, you're gonna have to.
I call full quackery here. I think that let's take a look at, when I was growing up, Sally Struthers would come on TV and tell me to send money to all these starving African kids.
Right.
If this breatharian thing worked, wouldn't you just wake up one day and breathe real deep and go, I'm fine. I'm not dying of freaking starvation and malnutrition. I'm just fine. I think we need to get crack, lady.
I think we need to get these people on Therapy Thursday.
And don't send me a bunch of emails going, you're being discriminatory against people who believe very strongly that they are. No, dude, this is quackery. Right. This is BS. Sometimes you have to call something for what it is. This is bunk.
Yeah,
it's total bunk. And this, listen, any scientific basis for this is extended periods of time without food or drink will lead to starvation and dehydration and eventual death. It's the way it goes.
You don't even need science. Just common sense.
No, this is just anything. Exactly.
Right.
How about I'm going to get emails, but I don't, you know what? Bring them on this time. Because sometimes I see people's points. It's like, well, right. You know, we had somebody.
Now should we be attacking them or you know, trying to get them help? I don't understand how she even got to the media, because if I was around this woman, I would immediately be like, you need help.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to get you all the help you need. And you can be resistant as you want to, but we're eventually going to tie you up.
What's this called? I'm looking this up to see if there's anything on Snopes about it, because it'd be fun to point that to people.
Because somebody's always going to say, it's a hoax.
Yeah. Bethanarian, let's see, founder. I'm trying to find the picture of this woman.
We did.
Yeah.
We did
bull crap, dude.
Right. Are they talking about it on Snopes?
No, I just found some pictures of them. There's no way she's not eating.
Right.
This is bunkaboo.
Maybe she's not eating and she's getting off on a technicality. Maybe she's doing some kind of, you know, fluid IVs or something.
Yeah, they don't tell you all that, do they?
Who knows?
Here's somebody named Willie Brooks on a show talking about it. Let's see if we can get a little audio here.
Now here is Mr. Wiley Brooks, who stopped eating 17 years ago.
Mr. Wiley Brooks.
All the elements we need to survive are in the air and an occasional glass of fruit juice. This is called breatharianism. And if it sounds hard to swallow, we're going to find out now from the man who knows. Would you please welcome Mr. Wiley Brooks.
All right, get in here.
Is a perfect breatharian. Now, all of the constituents that we need is taken from the...
Oh, he looks pretty gaunt. I could beat the hell out of him, though. That's the thing.
Right.
You're too. You need something, buddy. Go get a sandwich. All right. Anyway, we'll talk about that when we get some feedback, because people are going to be mad at me.
Oh, yes.
Let's see. Scarlett Johansson.
Johansson.
Some call her ScoJo or ScarJo. Oh,
who calls her that?
Idiots and bad people. her pregnancy could delay filming of the Avengers: Age of Ultron. So her surprise pregnancy that shocked her new film fans. Was announced this week. 5 months pregnant, by the way.
Wow.
News seems to have come as a surprise to her film bosses as well. They were not aware of this. The 29-year-old actress is reportedly due to welcome her first child into the world with her fiancé, Romain Dyrek.
I'm going to have a Romain this for lunch today.
A Romain diuretic. That's what that looks like. He's 31 in August, but shooting for her upcoming movie, The Avengers: Age of Ultron, may need to be rescheduled to fit her around, or fit around her growing baby bump. You know what? Maybe they ought to just CGI that thing out, you know?
I say leave it in, and this write in the story that she's been infected by an alien.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
She got robot DNA in her somehow from the Ultron robot.
Right.
And Hulk.
He's impregnated her, and she can, you know, act all sweaty and freaked out.
She made out with the Hulk. She can have a green baby. There's all kinds of things you could do here.
Baby smash.
I'm a fan of what happens in the life of Scarlett Johansson. I like her as an actress. I think she's good. But and I also, you know, I really like the Avengers, so I'd like to see this not delay things too much. We shall find out soon enough, folks. Soon freaking enough. All right, we're going to take a song break. When we come back, we will have Nicole here for Recommendals. We'll have Tom here for Tom's Tech Time and a few emails and stuff. But before all that, I'm going to play you a song here. It's fun sometimes when Brian goes out of town, because normally he's, you know, song lord and picks all the music and has all these great requests and everything.
He's like the guy in the car that won't. He's always adjusting the radio. It's like, I want to listen to something.
Yeah, totally. And it's good because you want him to. You're like, oh, yeah, I like your, I like what you're bringing. But today I'm going to do a couple of covers that I really like. One of them is, I think we may have played this on the show. I'm not 100% sure if we have. If we have, I apologize. If we haven't, I don't care. I like it. It's Hailstorm's Gold Dust Woman, a cover of the old Fleetwood Mac song, which I'm a huge fan of.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we're going to play that real quick. One of my favorites. When we come back, all that stuff I said and more. Stay tuned.
Dust woman, take your silver spoon and dig your grave. Heartless challenge, and pick your path and I'll pray. Make up in the morning to see yourself. sunrise lovers go down. Lousy lovers pick their brain, but they'll never cry out loud. Cry out loud. Oh, did you make her cry? Make her break down? Shatter your illusions of love. And is it over now? Do you know how to pick up the pieces and go home? Go home. Rock on, ancient queen, and follow. Your kingdom up for sale, for sale. Oh, well, did you make you cry, make you break down, shatter your illusions of love? And is it over now? Do you know how to pick up the pieces and go home? Well, did you make you cry, make you break down, shatter your illusions of love? Now tell me, is it over now? Do you know how to pick up the pieces and go home? Go home.
The feats of the finest chef. You can turn out crisp, tender delicacies, always evenly browned and easily digested. Because this new Hot Point Golden Fryer is a real professional type. Not like ordinary electric home fryers. Its extra speed brings fat to frying temperature fast, and its quick recovery keeps the fat hot when food is added. For a complete demonstration of this exclusive Golden Fryer, visit your Hot Point dealer.
And a caveman.
Greetings, Earth Lady. May I interest you in some guacamole? This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back, everybody. Man, I love that song.
That was awesome.
It's great, right?
A lot of fun.
Good version of it.
Made me dance.
Yeah, it should have. That was the plan all along. All right, it's time for us to add our good pal, fellow Final Score host, Nicole Spag, to this call. And see what's going on in her world of recommendals and more. And I probably ought to get her little theme ready, because that's what we do here on the show, is we play a little theme.
She has a theme? Did I have a theme?
You don't really have a theme. Here's your theme.
Ah!
Oh, no, wait.
My scrote.
My scrote. That's it. My scrote.
My scrote.
There you go. That's you. Oh, here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome to Recommentals with Nicole Spag. Hi, Nicole.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Nicole.
You ready to talk about some video games?
It's not Friday, but every day.
Actually,
video game.
I do have some video games to talk about this weekend. I'm excited for our next show.
I got Guacamelee off the Humble India Bundle yesterday.
Listen, you people that say melee instead of melee, I got no time for you people.
Guacamelee.
Guacamelee.
I just saw a kitty cat.
Yeah.
I got a cat here. I got a cat.
Where's the cat? Oh, yeah.
At Brian's house.
All right. Cool. Well, feral cats notwithstanding, it's time to talk to Nicole. So, Nicole, what is going on in the world of streaming services this week? There's been so much talk about net neutrality and the deal between Netflix and Comcast and everybody fighting over this and that and service going down until somebody breaks and all this stuff. But there's still plenty of entertainment to be gleaned.
Yeah, there's tons out there. In fact, did you see that Lifehacker article where they took 250 popular TV shows and did a side-by-side comparison between Amazon, Prime, Hulu Plus, and Netflix?
No, how'd that go?
It was really interesting. I mean, this chart is even
off
they
the charts.
Brought in. Well, it's off the charts.
So wait, no, it's a comparison of quality. Is that the idea?
No. Who's actually streaming the services what they, you know, what they excel in, and of course, you know, Netflix came out on top, but Hulu has the most current content, and Amazon Prime is kind of coming up in the ranks, but they're still not at the level of Netflix yet.
But the price difference between what you're paying for Netflix and what you're paying for Amazon, what you get is
well, and Amazon Prime has Justified, and that's all I need right now.
Yeah,
I don't care. There could be 250 other shows, but I'm watching Justify right now. Yeah. And you've ruined me, Scott, when you talked about what's his face on Twitter.
Who? Oh yeah. You know, that whole thing, it's so funny. It is funny.
He's trolling, and I think it's hilarious.
He's trolling, and I think sometimes I'll read a thing he'll say, and I'll go, you guys, that's just him trying to work you up.
He's
like, that's
goofing on people.
Yeah, it's not. He may have some extreme views, and he may actually be a total chode, for all I know. But there are definitely, I've been around this stuff long enough to know when I'm being trolled, and I'm clearly being trolled.
Well, James Blunt does the same thing on his Twitter account.
Yeah.
The singer.
Yeah. James Blunt's pretty bad. Like, so is, what's his name? We talked about him the other day. Adam Baldwin from Firefly. He's got same vibe, same deal. Yeah. And what? You just got to go with the flow. The way I look at it is Art Mullen's one of the best characters on television, period. And it's not hard for me to separate them. I can look at one and call him a character, and I can look at the other one and say he's a weirdo on Twitter, and I have no problem separating them. It's fine.
But it's kind of ruined me watching Justified, because now whenever his character comes on, he talks to Raylan. I always think he ends it with fatty or something.
Yeah. Some other trolly comment, you liberal turd or something.
I know, right? It just makes me laugh, and I'm like,
it's funny because a lot of people, the reason they're upset is because he has some of the best Elmore Leonard-like lines in the show, like this kind of...
Well, he's not skinny. I mean,
no, he's not.
Clearly not skinny.
He's got a nice little power gut and some other stuff going on.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. That guy is... He's a bunch of hot air online, but the character of Art is one of the best TV characters today. Just
I have to say, I kind of giggle now every time he has a scene.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
because
good.
Of you. Thanks.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. That's what I do here.
All right,
anyway.
So I have a few movies
all
for
right.
you,
movies.
Or films, as someone pointed out to me that I apparently say film more than movie, but I didn't really notice.
I grew up saying show a lot. My dad always said, "Oh, well, we're taking the kids to dinner and a show." He would say it's a very old-timey way of saying it.
Yeah,
and that feels fancy.
It does. But as a kid, we all thought of movies
Let's
as a show.
Movie.
So somebody would say, hey, did you see Time Bandit? I'd say, yeah, that's a really good show. I would say that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. And it's to this day, I still let that slip sometimes. And it drives some people a little crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it your wife and kids?
No, it's like,
crazy?
No, it's usually internet people. I have a problem with it.
When I'm talking about a film, I say film, like this film, but if I use it in more of a, let's go to the film. Let's go to the movies.
Let's all go to the movies.
Let's all go to the film.
Let's all go to the film. It might be Patrick and Terpster hanging out with them for a few years. They say film a lot.
Right.
All right. Let's get into it.
Okay.
Let's do an actor this week. I decided to pick a female actress. actress.
Okay.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Do they still want to be called actresses, or do they want to be called actress too now?
Actors. I don't really know or care. It's just not that big of a deal to me.
I had a real problem at the Oscars because I was thinking, why is there a best actress and a best actor category anymore? Why does that even exist?
Oh, you mean why separate? Ooh, good question. Why separate the genders at all? That's a very good question. In a leading role male and leading role female, why not just leading role period and then...
Right.
Because it's still Hollywood and it's still run probably by a bunch of men.
By Menzies?
I never really thought about this, but that's a very... That would be an interesting debate topic at some point in our lives. Maybe not today, but I would love to get into that more. Like, why is it... Mm. Why is it we have to do that? Why are we not separating further to say... You know, when What's-Her-Name won for the piano, Sookie, whatever her name is.
Sookie?
She was like eight or nine years old then. Yeah. She was like a little kid then. Why not have a category, best actress in a little kid role or something? You know what I mean? Right. Like, why aren't we separating it even further? And then, you know, maybe we'll get crazy with it and start putting racial lines and all kinds of stuff. Why don't we get that way, everybody?
Right.
Stir the pot. Let's go. All right. Sorry, I interrupted. Continue on, please.
That's all right. So I decided to pick one of my favorite actresses, Miss Charlize Theron.
Ah, yes.
I really enjoy pretty much any... she's made a few duds, but for the most part, I enjoy films. I really enjoyed Ion Flux.
I liked it.
I liked it, too. You know, I called it Aeon Flux, but that maybe just made me.
I thought it was Aeon. Oh. Aeon Flux.
I think it is Aeon, actually.
I always said Aeon.
That's
That movie is okay. It's not that It's not that bad. I didn't hate it.
That is streaming, by the way. That wasn't going to be one of my recommendations. That was going to be an honorable mention. So, Brian, thank you for bringing it up at the beginning.
Oh, you're welcome.
But the film I have for you, I've been sitting on this film for a while because it took me... a while to process it because I didn't like it at first. I'm still not sure if I 100% like it, but it's made me think a lot. And it's not a comedy. And I think that's the problem. It was framed as a comedy. Like the marketing of it, I don't think was really done well. It's the 2011 film Young Adult.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't see that.
It has Patton Oswalt, Charlize Theron, Patrick Wilson, her character, she plays a writer of teen literature, and she goes back to her hometown. She clearly has problems, and you're following her kind of come back to her small town and explore it, and she meets up with Patton Oswalt's character, who's still trying to get over, you know, he was a nerd in high school, and there's a lot of, like, maybe that's why I didn't like it, because there's a lot of, like, broken feelings about high school and that. Really? Yeah.
The classes and the people who got picked on.
I kept thinking it was a rom-com. Is it not?
It's not. That's the problem. I think that's what most people are probably going to go into. And I think that's what I went into going. I'm like, oh, this is depressing. This is sad. This is not what I thought it was going to be. So hopefully if I'm setting it up properly for you, you'll go into it knowing that it's not going... I mean, there are some funny parts to it, but there's a lot of sad... It's a very honest look at a wasted life.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
and
I can't be shown that. I'll be faced personal. With my own.
Wow. How many hours of podcasting have you done?
Right. Good Lord. I don't want to think about it. No, this looked interesting to me because I do like when things play against type occasionally, but I don't. Yeah. I think I would be very uncomfortable in it because I was always uncomfortable with the class system in high school and the cool kids versus the nerds and all that. I hated that stuff.
Well, then that's what's interesting. She was the popular girl. She had it all. And now she's coming to realize she doesn't have it all anymore. She goes back to see her high school sweetheart and the story unravels. It's definitely, if you're looking for kind of a deeper film,
right.
This is not what you think it will be, especially by the cover.
So was it, well acted and
yes. Okay. Oh yes.
And is there good resolution at the end of this thing? Do we get to the end and we go, oh, finally she's made a turn. She understands or is it kind of, one of these movies where it can't end happy.
It kind of makes you feel, I don't know. I don't know. Wow. I mean, you get some kind of resolutions to it, but it doesn't make you feel great at the end. It's not horrible at the end, but it's also not like, oh, everything worked out. And but it's just a harsh look at what life is for people.
Right, right.
I had an experience that reminds me of this. People who were jerks to me in high school, who I've met since, who are kind of a mess now.
Mm-hmm.
And this struggle in my own head not to feel triumphant about that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And to have some sympathy for them. Like, I feel like this would dig up too many weird feelings, maybe.
You should watch it. I would be really interested to hear your thoughts on it, especially the relationship that happens between her character and Patton Oswalt's character.
Mm. I like him in dramatic roles.
It's not sexual, is it? Because I can't watch Patton Oswalt in a sex scene.
No. Have you seen, speaking of Justified, are you caught up to where he's in it?
No, not yet. Oh. We're almost done with season 3.
Yeah, he's in 4 and he's insane. Okay. So good.
Can't wait.
He's
can't
really
wait.
Good. He's
I love him.
He's an amazing piece of that show, I think. Yeah. And I don't know where, I haven't watched any of 5 yet, so I don't know where that's at with him, but just really, really brought something to it. It's great.
Did you see him?
The Goldbergs?
The Goldbergs?
Oh, not yet. Last night's episode with the Goonies?
The Goonies?
No, don't ruin it for me. I can't wait to watch
so
it.
So what happens at the end is...
Oh, Brian's known for his spoilers. You got to watch out.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Got you trouble. Spoil one thing, one time.
One time, one thing. It's all it takes, dude. Anyway.
Speaking of Patton Oswalt, if you've never watched the Showtime show, United States of Terra, he's wonderful in that show.
I like that he's showing up in everything.
Me too.
Like just constantly showing up, showing all this range. He's a very interesting guy. His stand-up's always been good, but to go from, you know, this voice we heard and as Remy the Rat in Ratatouille to then all this other stuff since is, I think it's great. It's like a nerd who won.
Yeah.
And his episode was Seinfeld in the cars with comedians drinking coffee or whatever the hell it is.
Oh, I need to see that.
Really good. Yeah.
Oh,
really
I needed to see that. Definitely.
Yeah.
On Crackle.
Yeah.
Streaming.
He picked him up in a DeLorean. And it broke down before they could even leave. It's awesome because he was trying to be all nerdy, like, hey, Back to the Future car. And Patton had all this like background information about the car and the time travel, this and that, and flux capacitor and all this stuff. And then the thing wouldn't run, so they had to get another car. Anyway,
that's okay.
Yeah.
But just to let people know, you can find Young Adult on Netflix, Instant, Redbox Instant, and Epic.
Redbox.
Did I say Redbox?
Yeah, you said Redbox.
Redbox.
I like it. Without the S. That was good.
All right. I knew Dunaway being on this show, which is...
totally throw you for a loop, right? That's all right. Yeah. It could
awesome.
Been...
I love it. I love you.
This is what she says, though.
F off.
That's what she said.
Right.
Crap!
All right, anyway. So, next movie. Was that our first or second?
That was the first one.
First, okay.
We've only done one, Scott.
Second movie.
Second movie is the 2003 film, The Italian Job. I actually forgot she was in this.
Yeah, no, she's great in it.
So this is the remake. I've never seen the original. Have you seen the original?
No, it's some 60s thing.
I almost felt like that was bad.
No, wasn't it was like a 65 or something?
I've seen both.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I've seen both.
69.
69? Was it Steve McQueen or somebody? Or
Michael
who?
Caine.
Michael Caine.
I got all these
Michael
names
Caine
wrong.
Was actually fantastic in it.
Was it 65
really
with Steve McQueen? No, it was 69 with Michael Caine. I don't know why I don't know about this. I've seen it ages ago, but I don't remember anything about
it. It says Benny Hill was in the 69 one, too.
Sweet.
I hope it's not the...
and by saying you hope that it's not, I kind of hope that it was. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to see Benny Hill in something now... I want to see the Benny Hill that runs around and, you know, finds a bra underneath a table or whatever he did.
I used to watch Benny Hill with my dad as a kid. How funny.
Oh, my gosh. That? We used to try to watch it. My mom would ban it because it had boobs in it all the time.
He's running after her.
Yep, here it is. That's so stupid. Anyway.
So anyway, Italian Job, Mark Wahlberg. Donald Sutherland, Jason
Mini
Stapp.
Mini Coopers.
Yes, right? Yeah. This is kind of the first... film. Gosh, I'm right. gonna. I'm really aware of it now.
Yeah,
Redbox.
But yeah, I really enjoyed the film.
Good. I want to see it again. It's been forever. Jason Statham's first movie I ever saw him in.
Right. Yeah. Same here.
I know he's in other stuff, but he was. I remember seeing that and going, "Ooh, we're not done with him. He's going to be around for a while."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the car chase was awesome with those Mini Coopers and
It's fun. It's a heist movie, man. Who doesn't like a heist movie? They're the best.
Yep. So you can watch this on Netflix streaming, Amazon Prime, and on HitBliss.
HitBliss, folks. This some people are like, how's that pronounced? HitBlix. Like, they don't know how to say it. It's HitBliss, like blissful, like bliss. Yeah. I can't think of a word that rhymes with bliss.
Oh, it's bliss.
Yeah, it's kind of blissful.
Yes, bliss.
Very nice.
And then my third and final film is a torn one, but her performance in it was amazing. I thought she was just wonderful, and it's the only reason why I'm recommending it. It's the 2012 film Snow White and the Huntsman.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, Kristen Stewart is in it, and she's horrible. But Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, she's all right.
Kristen Stewart? You don't like her?
Yeah, I just don't like her.
She was all right.
I don't like her in many things, but I like her in some things.
She was playing Snow White. She's not Snow White. She's just not.
Wait, she was Snow White? Oh, yeah, and the Huntsman. Yeah.
And what really this story is about is the Queen and the Huntsman.
Yeah.
So Charlize Theron's character, she did an amazing performance.
She
was really the only reason why I liked this movie.
I agree. Right. She was amazing.
She was amazing. Yeah. And Kristen Stewart, honestly, it wouldn't have mattered if she was there.
She's kind of a piece of wood.
I think that was the point.
She's a piece of driftwood. She's not good.
Why would that be the point of a movie to have an actress like play a role?
It wasn't about her. You wanted to downplay the Snow White because you would want her to be the central.
Yeah, but you don't bring in a bad actress and a terrible performance to do that typically. Like you would normally do is just say you need to play it down a little bit or whatever.
An unknown.
This is what I like about Brian.
I wouldn't say she's a bad actress. I just think that she's a
not good.
not even not good. I think she does her thing.
She has a one.
It's kind of like going.
Yeah.
It's kind of like blaming Keanu Reeves for being like a surfer dude. It is.
Yeah, and a lot of people give him crap for the same thing. Look, Kevin Costner gets the same heat. You could say this about Michael Cera, although he's likable most of the time. But they're all kind of one-hit ponies. The problem with Kristen Stewart is there's something about her face and her demeanor that makes me think she doesn't really want to be there. And
she doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Like, she's so uncomfortable. And I will say her earlier stuff, like Panic Room, Zathura. Right. I loved her in those films.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, she was like 10 or something, so that helped, probably.
No, she wasn't 10. She was in her teenage years.
No, was
but
she?
It seems like as she's gotten older, she became more affected by the industry, and it just looks uncomfortable all the time.
Someone has put forward to me that it's possible that she has a condition that I have, which is bitchy resting face, which my sister talked about on Therapy Thursday. Because when you look at her when she's just chilling, she has the look of a raunch. Like, ugh, I don't want to be around you. But maybe that's just her face. You know what I mean?
But that's not what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on her acting. I'm like, her presence in the film.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think she's pretty mediocre at best. I liked her in Adventureland with Jesse Eisenberg and all
that. She
played that role because she's kind of a deadhead hippie girl, and she fit the role. She doesn't have much range. That's really the trick here. And if you're going to do a period piece / fantasy epic about the dark side of the hunter and the wicked queen and all that stuff, I think you need somebody else.
Yeah. The performance by Charlize Theron in this film was just wonderful.
She's incredible in it. Yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's always good. When does she suck? Never.
And I love the angle that they took with the film.
Yeah.
So
she still looks like my mom when she was young, but whatever.
That's great.
Well, it's a compliment to my mom, I suppose. Yeah. But it's hard for me to look at her and go, oh, she's so hot, and go, wait a minute, that was my mom. But even in that movie, what was it called? Prometheus, where she gets rolled over by the,
right,
the thing.
Right.
That movie had a lot of problems, but I thought she was really good.
I enjoyed her
in that
too.
Sure.
Yeah.
She's good.
The only place that you're going to find Snow White and the Huntsman is on HitBliss. So you would need to use HitBliss, and then you can rent it through Amazon.
It was on Netflix for a while. That's where we saw it, but it got.
Oh,
it's
did
not
you?
There anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, it's gone.
I think we got it from the Red Bucks.
The red box?
Red Box.
Box. Red Box.
Now the right way sounds weird. I can't figure out what's right. Anyway, well, that's good. So what's our third Charlize movie?
Was that it?
That was third? Wait, well, oh, yeah, because the middle one, I got it.
Yep.
I'm losing it. No Mighty Joe
Italian
Young.
Italian Job.
The list. All right. People forget she was Mighty Joe Young's lady in that. Also a remake. Right. Fantastic. Nicole, always a pleasure. Is there anything going on you'd like to pimp before we kick you out of here?
I'll pimp the final score.
Oh, you should listen. Yeah, people should. It's video game talk. I feel like we have a unique voice in that space. A lot of these shows that we sort of compete with are shows that are ancillary to other web properties, so big websites doing a podcast that are also video game focused. We're a little bit different. It's straight up, hey, we're players. We're people who like games, and we like talking about
it. We don't all play the same thing. That's always what's interesting to me.
Yeah, it's a good time. So
playing the new Castlevania.
Yeah, we'll be on this week. You can get a brand new episode. Watch it live on Friday. Usually record around 3 to 3.30, although I think this week 3.30 is totally fine, Mountain Time. And check it out. It's good times. Yeah. Nicole, have a fantastic day, and we'll see you next Wednesday. Bye now.
Bye.
How do I hang up on her? I can't.
I'll hang up on you.
Bye. Hang up on me. All right. Thank you so much for hanging up on me. All right, Brian. Now's the time.
Right, Scott.
We call Tom Merritt, another good friend of the program. And
who is this Tom Merritt you speak of?
Yeah, never heard of him. Technological wonder man, Tom Merritt, who gets his own little theme.
Mr. Know-it-all, in a good way.
Here's his theme.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man in question, as always, each and every Wednesday, is Tom Emeritus Merritt.
Call me a know-it-all, by the way?
I said know-it-all in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way.
Because I did. I said it. Because my mouth was like, yeah, Tom Merritt, know-it-all. That doesn't sound very good.
Now you're just setting me up for failure, though.
Yeah.
But Tom knows everything. Ask him anything. Yeah. Anything at all. Yeah. He will not embarrass himself by not knowing the answer.
I have never had a discussion with Tom where he did not have a good answer.
Right.
Well, or at least a well thought out
thought.
Well, you fooled me.
Yeah. You had him tricked. Jeez.
Yeah, totally.
Nice work on that. I saw Tom yesterday on the inaugural night attack last night. You're a fine guest on there.
Well, thank you.
And I enjoyed that quite a bit. But one thing people don't realize is that I don't know, you know, people always say, are you the busiest person in podcasting? And I would say, I'm probably right up there, but I think the busiest person is Tom Merritt right now. He's got more going on. He's guesting on more shows. He's producing more shows than just about anyone I know.
Well, I think, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't even know if I'm the busiest. Yeah. There are people out there that do even more shows than I do. But yeah, I'm certainly not laying around.
No, you're not kicking it off and chilling.
Not eating grapes.
Right. Not watching old Seinfeld episodes in your underwear. You've got more going on Crackle. More going on than that.
I am not riding around in cars with comedians.
That's right. Speaking of which, you're going in a car and a plane and other possible delivery methods to South by Southwest this weekend. Is that true?
Yeah, I'll probably take Uber and a plane and then a cab. That's probably all.
Somebody, maybe Schwood's car, maybe. Somewhere.
Yeah, I might get into Justin Robert Young's rental.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, we're going to South by Southwest this weekend. I'm kind of there for a day.
Oh, you're in and out. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I'm in Friday night, and that's why we're not doing Current Geek. I apologize to the audience for that because I have to fly during our normal time. Totally me again. I'm the bad guy.
Busy man.
But yeah, headed out South by Southwest that night. I get in at 1 a.m. and then I'm there all day Saturday, and we're having our Diamond Club meetup at 3 o'clock. If anybody's in Austin, you don't have to be a badge holder or anything. Just come by the Handlebar on 5th Street, 3 to 5 p.m. on Saturday, and then I'm out Sunday afternoon.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
That's quick.
That's quick.
In, out, good.
Bam, bam, barbecue.
Yes, all the things you need to do while you're in Austin, certainly you'll be doing those. That's great. Well, while you're there, and I'm sure that some of this will come up while you're there, you're certainly always on the lookout for good tech stories to report on your own tech show and otherwise. What is the hot business today?
Yeah, I'm always looking for good tech stories. And man, this morning is a little dry.
No.
Flipboard bought Zeit from CNN is kind of the top story, which just makes me... Yeah,
that's a little boring.
I want to roll back over. I thought maybe we'd talk about the Xbox One update, which started rolling out right now. I don't know if you guys are excited about that.
Not exactly. I'm excited about any time they're getting back to features that they promised ahead of release and then are now kind of getting to. Both them and the PS4 have a pretty good laundry list of things they had touted pretty heavily on stage and then didn't release at launch and have slowly kind of rolled out. a couple of those features still aren't there, like game suspension, where I can, you know, do like a DS or a Vita or an iPhone or something where I'm in the middle of a game. Oh no, the doorbell rang. I can literally shut the thing or put it in standby mode, which kills all the power, is not draining anything. It's not paused. It's literally suspended in low power mode. You go do what you got to do. You come back, you flip it on, and you are exactly in the same game state you were in before. Right. That's a huge deal for me, like an enormous feature that I was super stoked about both announcing, and they've both been miserable about rolling that out.
How hard is it? Don't we have that in our, basically, in our computers built in?
Yeah, right. Seriously. I mean, it's safe state to the hard drive, right?
Yeah. It's very odd, actually. Why that didn't roll out. I feel like it may have been a late to the game edition where they went, you know, this, we might want to include this because look at what people are doing. And it makes a huge difference for me as a gamer because I have so much going on all the time. To be able to pick up and go and not wait for load screens and, in you know, waiting for stuff to fire up and boot up and load in and all that crap, I, you know, why would you ever want to do that? It's like shutting down your 3DS and then restarting it every time you want to play it. That's just ridiculous. Well,
that's why I end up using the Xbox more often than the PS4. Mm-hmm. I bought both of them on purpose to be able to compare and contrast.
Right. I'm here and I'm buying them on purpose.
Yeah, no, I did. I wasn't like, you know, I was trying to be a fanboy or I don't know what. But
right.
I have the Wii U too.
Right.
That thing's unplugged, but. I needed the HDMI port. Sorry.
Poor thing. Hey, something's got to give, man. We understand.
But even though I actually believe, and it's pretty close, but I actually believe the PS4 is the better console right now, I end up using the Xbox more because of the TV pass-through.
Yeah.
I don't even use the guide thing. I'm like I'm living in Australia. Like, I don't even have it integrated with my service. Mm-hmm. But just having that TV app so that if I'm watching TV and the show's over and like, oh, I think I want to, you know, play a little Titanfall beta. Boom.
Yeah.
I'm right in it. That's total bull, by the way, because I am horrible at Titanfall and I never play it.
Did you try the beta, though? You gave it a little swing, right?
Yeah, I did.
It's that game's going to be competitive.
I don't last long in first-person shooters.
right. I was going to say, you've got a history of this a little bit.
I like racing.
It's funny because this rollout or this patch you're talking about is definitely a kind of let's get this out before Titanfall launch because we've got to get some infrastructure stuff in place. We got to do some other things. I'm sure this testing has enlightened them as to a few things they need to do to kind of get things in place. What is interesting is the multiplayer services and servers and all of that for Titanfall are are EA based for PC users. For the PC version of the game.
Yeah.
But Microsoft is handling all of this on the Xbox side, which is a little bit weird. Some people have theorized it's because lately EA has shown some serious issues with their services when it came to Battlefield 3 and its stability on all platforms and a few other things like that. And so a lot of people think Microsoft stepped up and said, you guys better let us do this because we really need Titanfall to be a big deal. It's an exclusive this generation for this first game, at least, on consoles. Likely this sequel would show up on everything. But to get that kind of deal, they want to maximize that. And I think they want to make sure things are real stable at launch.
How awesome would it be for Microsoft if it launches on March 11th and everybody starts saying, my PC Titanfall can't connect to the server, and the Xbox users are like, mine's fine.
Yeah, that would be a big win for Microsoft. Although it's so funny because Microsoft's always at opposite ends of the same straw, you know, because they're invested in what the PC does and how well it, you know, how well things go. So it's
trying to visualize the straw. So
yeah, I don't know why it's a bad analogy, but this idea that they can play both sides of that and.
Yeah,
you know, it's always been interesting. They've done this forever, so it's nothing new. But you know, I'm anxious to see Titanfall do well because that puts a heat. You know, regardless, right now the PS4 is ahead in total units sold, and developers are much happier, and indies are very happy. And I've been very happy with my PS4, with the one exception being that, you know, PC as a platform and Steam particularly are a constant stream of new things to do. And right now, they're, you know, both consoles are a little bit dead in terms of new content. That's about to change. That always happens, you know, ramps up after launch and everything else. But I have a vested interest in the Xbox doing really well because it will keep a fire under Sony's current, resurgence. Boy. And keep everybody working hard to get, you know, to get your money. So it's a good thing. The real question is, will this addition or will this update add much for people? And right now, it looks like it fixes a bunch of features. The party features are utterly terrible and busted on the Xbox One right now.
Yeah, so it fixes a lot of that.
This is supposed to fix that. Do you know what else is in the offing in terms of big major fixes or
Yeah, so they're fixing matchmaking and party chat, and they're making your friends list a little more central on the Friends app homepage. You don't have to hunt around for your friends, which is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Chat audio turned on by default when you engage with parties, so you can just start talking. Also allows players to chat with other players even if they aren't currently playing the same game, if you want to do that. They also, you can invite friends to play and see a list of Xbox Live members the user has played games with recently, you know, so sort of an extended party, and support for live streaming on Twitch.
That's finally coming in. That's good.
So when you're playing your Titanfall, I think the idea is you can, you can, you know, splatter Twitch with a bunch of people playing Titanfall.
Yeah, it's interesting because PS4 launched with that feature, and that was a big hit there for a while. And a lot of people were worried that, oh, that, well, Microsoft's going to be so late to this game, no one's going to care. But Titanfall is a reason to care about that streaming. So I agree with you. That's good. The only weird thing about this whole rollout, it's not really related to the update, but the Xbox 360 has something like, whatever it is, 80 million install-based. That's going to be where most of the Titanfall sales are going to come from. That game doesn't come out until the 25th. This was originally supposed to be a cross-platform, same-day launch for the game. And there are a lot of rumors floating around about why the 360 version got bumped to the 25th. And there could be a lot of technical reasons, and I tend to side with that sort of thing because that's kind of how those things go. But it is interesting when you've got a much lower install base, let's say 3 million Xbox Ones out there, but 80 million 360s. Are you launching the wrong one first? You know, like in a weird, how are you going to make sure you get all those players? I don't know.
You are very correct that there are technical reasons why you might have to put one platform out over another, since the one and the 360 are not backwards compatible.
Sure, of course.
However, the question then remains, why did you prioritize the one with the smaller install base? You could have prioritized the Xbox 360 and said, well, we had to get that one done first, and then we'll get to the Xbox One. If there's a technical reason, there's a technical reason that could work either way. I don't see why it would have to be the Xbox One first. Maybe there's, I'll allow there's a small percentage chance of that, but my guess is no. My guess is when the developers said, well, we're going to have to get one of these done first, the executive said, great, make it the Xbox One because we want to nudge people towards buying that.
Yeah.
And if they realize, oh, I have to wait a little while longer to get my hot game, they might go out and buy an Xbox One.
They
and
might.
They're selling those Titanfall bundles now, too. So.
Yeah, there's some people, some folks, industry coverage folks, that are a little worried that Titanfall is good, but not that good. Like, it's not going to be this end-all, be-all, let's own the generation. And if that's the case, there are going to be people who will see those initial reviews and go, well, I'm not really ready to spend $500 for the new game.
But free Titanfall.
But free Titanfall.
Hey.
Right.
Because they're bundling it in.
Right. So they're going to.
You can spend $500 for Titanfall, even though it's not that good.
Yeah.
And you can get a free Xbox.
Right.
No,
I hope it does really well. That's my hope here is that this game is a big hit.
It looks amazing. Yeah. I have to give you that. I'm, like I said, I'm no person to evaluate a first-person shooter on its playability.
Sure.
It would be better off if the first-person shooter evaluated me. But
right.
But looks-wise, you know, just watching someone who did know what they were doing playing, I was like, this game looks amazing.
I like a game to go, oh, who's this ace detect who just logged in?
It just kicks me off.
Oh, like, now he needs 400 extra health points, and could we give him all full ammo starting out? And
we're going to kick you over to Gran Turismo for a minute.
Yeah. On a whole different platform. We're going to send you over to Sony's Gran Turismo and maybe an iOS
switching
game.
Switching your input to HDMI 3. Pick up that PS4 controller.
Can we get Ace Detect on freaking Plants vs. Zombies 2, please? This is not working out.
Rezogun is for you.
Right. Oh, I like Rezogun. By the way, so just a quick note for gamers. If you are a PS4 owner and you're a PlayStation Plus member, which I am, yesterday they launched Dead Nation, which was also a PS3 game, but it's been all updated and HDified and stuff. Totally free for those folks. $15 otherwise, but...
Nice.
Free if you're on PS Plus, and that game is great. And I loved it on the PS3, and I'm playing it again on PS4. And if you're looking for a quick fix, that game's awesome. It's the same. PS it's the Plus Rezogun people. They're the guys who did it.
If you can afford it, PS Plus is a great
deal. Oh, it's an awesome deal. Like, if you're, it's $50 a year on the high end if you can't find cards or deals anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And they, it's every month, new and slightly older games, absolutely free. Download them and play those freaking things. Metro Last Light is absolutely free on PS3 right now. Dead Nation, totally free here. Outlast was free last month. Like, there's plenty. It's right now, it is the best deal in subscription gaming. Microsoft will probably have an answer for this as they ramp up and get better at their service. but this has turned out to be, I was scoffed at it at the beginning, and now I think it's one of the best deals ever. So anyway, check
obviously,
that out.
If you have a little extra cash, the first thing you should do is go to patreon.com/TMS.
Oh,
I think, you know what? Thing you yeah. should do is go to patreon.com/AceDetect. And then the third thing you should do is get PS Plus.
Yeah, and then go back and up your amounts on Patreon. And then, yeah, all those things in a row. So, Tom, speaking of which, anything going on before you leave that you'd like people to tune into and check out?
Well, I got a couple things. If I can be, if I can be greedy this week,
be so bold. Go ahead.
First of all, look. If you're watching, do you see my video?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Do you see this?
Oh, look at the anthology. Ooh, I freaking love that cover. Oh my gosh,
it's a real, honest to goodness, three dimensional version. It's not the final version. Don't look at the back. That's okay. All mocked up.
Right.
But Veronica and I printed up versions of this for ourselves on Lulu, just to kind of look through and make sure we don't see anything wrong with it. And Veronica has finished designing the real wraparound cover that we're going to have on the final version.
Great.
So the next step, as we mentioned on Sword and Laser yesterday, is to send these out to the authors and get their last minute feedback on it. And then it goes to our Kickstarter backers and then it goes on sale. So we're very excited about this. 20 great stories, a foreword by Patrick Rothfuss. We got Gail Carriger and Sam Sykes that signed off on with little blurbs on the back. Been a year in the making, more than a year actually. So,
do you love it when a project like that comes out? I just freaking love that feeling.
I can't wait. That day, the day we finally put it up for sale, I'm just gonna dance.
Yeah,
like I don't, you know me, I don't know how to dance. I'm gonna involuntarily, like St. Vitus dance, just shake around.
Tom's not really a dancer. If you follow Tom on Ace Detect on Twitter, you'll surely learn about when that goes live and stuff leading up to it. And of course, TomMerritt.com.
The other thing I wanted to Johnson a little is that here in about an hour and a half, Len Peralta and I are going to be getting together to record a little Patreon video.
Oh, right. hey, that sounds great.
There might be a little 10-state action in your future. Just saying.
Yeah, that's what I hear more about.
Wonderbar. Well, that's great. Patreon everywhere is the new
I know.
Deal.
It's become the thing.
It is the thing right now. Tom Merritt, always a pleasure. Let's see you next week. Have a safe trip to Austin, and we'll find out how things went next week.
Thanks, man. Good to talk to you both.
See you, man. Good to see you, Tom.
Bye.
I can't hang up on him for some reason.
I can't hang up on anybody.
Okay. Skype won't let me hang up on anybody right now. Oh, your video went away, or maybe you turned it off.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I'm trying to bring it back. I keep telling it to turn video off. Turn video on. Nothing happens. I can see me.
What's going on? I don't understand. All right, well, while you dink with that, I'm going to kick us out of here and do some emails. Emails are brought to you by Gum That Tastes Like Grandma. Because that's what I got right here, folks.
Grandma gum.
There's some right here for you. Hey, Scott and Brian. This is the other Brian. Just listening to TMS 559. I heard you comment about the Arizona bill. Couple of clarifications. Actually, you know what? I may save this one for Brian tomorrow. Hold on. Because this may speak to him directly.
If it's directly to Brian.
Yeah, I'm going to hang on to that one. Don't worry, folks. We're keeping that email for tomorrow. We'll talk about that one then. Here's another one from Jason Robbins, a.k.a. J Funktastic. Hey, Scott and Brian, yesterday you read a story about the man in Mississippi who was pronounced dead and woke up in a body bag. I am from South Mississippi myself and spent some time as an EMT. That's an emergency medical technician, right?
Right.
It's not early monkey turd.
Early monkey. Yeah, exactly what it is.
All right, great.
Early
I don't
early monkey turd. That came out too soon.
That's too quick. Ooh, ooh, ee, ee. I pooped too quick. I don't know the specifics of the story, but it's possible the man had DNR. Do not resuscitate order. Usually CPR is used before pronunciation of death, unless death is quite clear, rigor mortis, etc. If he had a DNR, he would have been pronounced dead. The fact that he's sprang to life so long after is miraculous. Love the boat, though, Jason. That's a good point. Hadn't thought of that, and I'm guessing you're probably right. Because why else would you pronounce somebody dead and then put them in a body bag and then not know?
Right. And from what I was reading, he had already been to hospice where, you know, you go to basically pass away. And they're just basically waiting for you to pass away or trying to make you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And so I think if you assume that someone's about to die and then you check their pulse and there's no movement and there's no noticeable breathing, I think it'd be pretty easy to go, dead.
I got the impression there was more to that story than we got in that article.
So, right. Now, if they found me or you, Scott, they would definitely check for pulse. They might even perform some CPR. But this gentleman was an older gentleman that was in poor health and I think we're expecting him to die. So,
yeah. And you know what happens when you die, right?
You die. You poop.
This happens. and then get out of the way. Cause,
you take a big old poopy you in your pants.
Yeah, you drop a turd. That's what you do. You let go. You finally
that's
let go.
That's the most stressful thing about thinking about dying.
Yeah, it is kind of, right? How embarrassing right. is it going to be when you finally croak? All right, that's it. We're done. Brian Dunaway, thank you so much for being part of the show today, man.
Oh, man, I had fun, man. Anytime.
It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure.
Always fun hanging out with Brian and doing this stuff. It's always an easy fit. If you'd like to be a part of the show, go to frogpants.com/TMS. That's the website that'll link you to everything, including show notes every day. Video versions of the podcast are up there. And you can kind of see what we recorded while we did it. I want to thank alphageekradio.com for the Shoutcast stream today. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're @morningstream, @ScottJohnson, and @Coverville. And for Brian, @TheBrianDunaway.
The Brian Dunaway.
I almost said Mission Deep again.
I know. People still do that.
You still own it, right? You still have
it. Yeah. I get messages from them. I'm like, hi.
I still get it on Extra Life as well.
No one's here.
Yeah. They still send it there, which is fine. I'm not giving that thing up, but I got rid of it for I'll go into that a different day.
Right.
It's a long story. That's going to do it. We're going to go out with a song. Oh, Brian, anywhere people should go? Comics Coast to Coast, we talked about. Anything else you want to pimp out for people?
Well, you know, we do the Comics Coast to Coast, which is great. But we also do the Film Sack.
Oh, I love the Film Sack.
We talked about the final score. The Film Sack is awesome. We just did, we just watched a fantastic horror movie, the Amityville Horror.
Yeah, the old one, 79 one.
Right? Yeah. If you're interested in learning so much more about that, Netflix has tons of documentaries. The movie is a piece of poo, but it's a lot of fun poo. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. I had fun.
All right. Well, don't forget.
And they're being scooped up by white homos.
All right. Great. That's good info. Thanks, buddy. Let's get out of here with a song. I picked another cover that I like quite a bit. We played this on. This has been played on the show before, but it's been long enough. I feel like we're okay to do it again. It is Metallica. And their cover of Whiskey in the Jar, it's awesome, and I really like it. So be back here tomorrow, Therapy Thursday. Brian Ibbett will be back. Thanks again, Brian Dunaway.
Thank you, Frog Pants and Frog Panthers.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you then.
Oh,
Pant Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Musk wrote.